Well, let me read this verse, and then maybe it'll help. I just want you to read this verse. I want you to hear this, okay? 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And you can read the next one. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory should be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we just want to honor You tonight. I'm just asking You, Holy Spirit, to guide every word spoken and heard. I ask that You would open our hearts, help us to, and our ears and our eyes, and help us have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and be willing to see what You want us to see. Because if we're going through it, it sure be neat to have some understanding about it. And we just say, thank You, Jesus. Lord, minister as only You can. Thank You, Jesus. Since we've had, since we lost the building, a lot of things have been happening in people's lives here. But I want to go back to 1978, before some of you were ever even born, and let you know about something that God said to me one time that applies to you today. Back then He said to me, Harvey, you remember that verse where it says that they smite thee on the one cheek, turn to them the other also? I can remember back in 1978 when God brought that to my attention. And I said, but Lord, I'm allergic to pain. I really don't like being beat on. And what He said to me was, Harvey, if they did it to the master, what do you think they're going to do to the servant? He said, do you really want to be my servant? So I'm asking you that question. I like when I go over to Patty's house and she teaches, one of the things that she does is she always asks these questions, these thought-provoking questions that she leaves you with to make you have to think. And so the question I'm going to ask you is, do you really want to be a servant of Jesus? Do you really want to be a servant of Jesus? Because if we're going to be a servant of Jesus, what do you think that looks like? What did they do to the master? When you read, have you read the whole New Testament? Have you read it? What did you see? Have you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What did you see about the life of Jesus? Real popular, everybody likes Him, never had any enemies, everybody listened, they just did whatever He said, because of course they recognized He was God, just did everything He said, never had any problems. I mean, His followers just were just right in line, never argued with Him or gave Him any hard time. Is that the way it was? What do you think it's going to be like to be a Christian? What do you think it's going to be like? Beloved, it says in verse 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. He said, this is what's going to happen. You said you want to be like Jesus. Well, can I ask you? Is there anybody, can we look around in this room and point at somebody and say, they're just like Jesus? They don't have to, they don't need to get any better. They've already arrived. So that means we all have stuff down inside of us that's not like Him, right? Okay? If you know anything about metals or if you've ever heard of it, the way they purify gold or silver is they put it in fire and the impurities come to the surface. Since we lost the building, have you noticed yourself getting a little more testy? What other words would we use? Irritable? Want to run? Depressed? Want to run? Don't want to be here. I don't like this. It's uncomfortable. Does it have to be like this? I don't want to do this. How about that? How about that? Tell me if this picture fits you. You're falling through the air, tumbling head over heel. You're reaching out. You can't see anything. You're trying to grab to find something. You don't feel like you know where you're going or what's under you. Can anybody relate to that? I'm serious. Okay, three of you, four? Oh, many of you? Okay. You got what I'm saying? Very unconnected. You know why? There's a number of reasons why. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 right now. Because I've gone through this before, and when at first we lost the building, I was all excited because I was watching what y'all were going through. And I wasn't going through stuff, but it didn't seem to be hitting me yet because God was having me focus on you. And what you were going through, and to pray for you, because like Jesus said right before he went to Gethsemane, he said, I have kept them all and I have lost none. And I didn't want to lose anybody. And I don't think we've lost anybody that God had told me was supposed to be here. But I've sure noticed some definite things happening in people's lives, making it where people weren't sure they wanted to keep coming. Okay? I'm talking about this to get you on the same page, and then we're going to go to Matthew 4, and we're going to talk about some things that will help you during this time. But when this first started happening, I was like all excited because I'm watching. I just know this is a time that God's going to grow people. He's going to stretch us. He's going to put us in a place where we have to depend on Him. And it was like, because that's what He told me. And so I was all excited and I'm watching y'all. And most people were like whining and crying and whimpering and saying all kinds of things like, I don't want to do this. And you know what they're doing. And, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know if you remember in the beginning, I was like just grinning and saying how good I thought it was. And then it started happening to me. Okay? And I didn't know that's what was happening to me. I couldn't figure out what was happening to me. Just like you couldn't figure out what was happening to you. And I went through it for about 2 weeks. Exactly. And I'm like going, what are you doing? What is going on? I started echoing y'all. And then one day I was talking to Sue and she said these words. She said, I think you're going through a struggle. And when she said that, it was like, duh, how did I miss that? That's exactly what it was. Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10? I want to help you see in the Scripture a good description of what we've been going through. You ready? For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Grand Rapids and Ionia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Go back to verse 8. I don't want you to miss the trouble that we've been going through here in Grand Rapids, that we were pressed out of measure. What does that mean? It means we had pressures and afflictions, and things happened to us that we had no point of reference, no way that we could measure this, nothing that we could look back and say, oh, this is what's been happening, this is what happened to me before. We didn't know how to do this. You want to be a servant of Christ? No, serious. Do you? Just ask. Because that's what I want. And that's what this is about. That's what this is about. God says, I'm letting these troubles come. And It's like we are pressed out of measure. We have no way to compare this with anything that's happened. Is that what you felt?
Yes.
It's like all these things that are happening, I don't know how to explain it. This doesn't make sense. I've always known Christianity, quote, quote, to be this way or church to be this way. You should have had a clue when you came here and we told you this isn't normal church. You should have had a clue when you met me. You knew I wasn't a normal preacher. Okay? But then when we told you this is relationship, it's not religion. You see, you get discontent with religion. You really need to get discontent with not just religion, but you need to get discontent with your religion. And what I mean is, what you've done with Jesus up till now is what He got you to hear, but you need to take it all the time and lay it down at His feet and say, God, I keep adding mixture in here that's not You. I keep adding my opinions, my agendas, what other people tell me. And I need to keep laying it down because I just want You, Jesus. Isn't that what You want?
Amen.
Yeah.
I only want You, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's me too! I like that saying. So I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, of the troubles that have come to us. That we were pressed out of measure. We had problems beyond anything that we could relate to. Things that we couldn't explain. And then it goes on to say, above strength. Meaning, beyond our ability. Haven't you felt like you're not going to make it? I'm not going to make it. We get all frustrated. We get angry. We get depressed. We get like, I don't think I can do this. I just want to run. You know, that's how people get saved. It's the same way babies get born. It has to come to a place of desperateness, a place for that baby to be born. It's not just an easy process. But God, over in, I believe it's, where is that verse? Galatians 4:19. Where it says, until Christ be formed in you. It's like, God is wanting to form Christ in us. But there's a lot of things that are in the way. And there's a lot of things in the way here. And God is allowing things to happen, kind of like fire in our life, to bring these things to the surface. Because you see, we've been putting on the Christian show. Oh no, brother, we're in a relationship, and we still are doing the Christian show. Hi, how you doing? I'm fine. Why are you lying to me? What's really going on in your life? See, God is allowing things so that things are coming to our surface. We're wondering, why is this happening in my life? And God may tell you many different times the same thing for many people, and you keep arguing with it. Justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, or excusing. And then you stay there and you wonder why. We all go through the same thing. God is allowing things to come in our life to bring stuff to our surface because, and see, we think it's somebody else. Well, it's her. It's only because I'm married to her. It's her fault. It's her fault. He says, it's her fault. It's her fault. I love that this morning. You need to stay in a constant state of surrender. Because when we put our hands down, we put them on our guns and shoot them. Constant place of surrender. So God is bringing stuff to the surface so we can deal with it because we've been hiding. Not that we even knew about it. They may be things we didn't even know. But God's bringing stuff. Haven't you been amazed since we lost the building things, the way you acted sometimes, things you thought, the way you talked to other people? You didn't even know it was down in there. But God says, I've got just the thing to bring it to the surface. Because it's been hiding you. As people. So we can get it to the surface because then we can deal with it. Uh-oh, let's don't say that. It's a cuss word. We won't say that. Okay. There's words that we Anyway, so look at verse 8. Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. We wanted to die. Now look at verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Here's the key. Look at the middle of verse 9. That we should not trust in ourselves. Many of us in this room are still trusting in ourselves. We're still thinking, I can do this. I'm a good person. I know all this scriptural knowledge. I have all this experience. Look at how long have I been in the new frame? How many churches have I been in? And all this other stuff that we say. And God's like, He said, this is about relationship. He said, this is about Christ being formed in you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. God wants Christ formed in us. Notice verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That means we're not trusting in ourselves. That means I'm dead, so He can live. But when it's about me, it's not about Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? How I feel, my rights, what I want. Do you get it? How I feel, my rights, what I want. You see, it's all about me. How I look. Then it's all about me. It's not about Jesus. And Jesus is always about others. This isn't for everybody. I was over here going, Lord, I kind of was thinking this was for leadership group, and I said, I don't know. I said, I got a feeling when I start talking, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to just be looking around and not getting this, and or not even maybe necessarily wanting it, or not ready to hear it. I don't think he said this, but I could hear him saying, when did that ever stop? This is to help you. That we should not trust in ourselves. Brother Bill brought up something afterwards. He brought up a question and it came down to trust. Are we trusting in Jesus? Are we trusting in God? Do we trust that He loves us even when we're not doing what we should? Or are we not trusting in Him? Are we trusting in Him when things aren't going good? Are we willing to quit trusting in ourselves and our way of doing things? Verse 9. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Now watch what he says. Who delivered us? That's a question. Who delivered us? Well, watch what he says in this verse. He talks about three deliverances. Past, present, future. Who delivered us from so great a death. That's when you were born again and saved from eternal death. And doth deliver. In other words, He's delivering right now. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us and take us to heaven. Or take us through what we're going through right now. But we have to go through this to get the lesson. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Matthew 4, verse 1. I'm just going to read this. However you do that, Lord. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You mean the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? God knew what He was doing. The Scripture can't be broken. That's exactly what it says. God led you, Roxanne, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was led of the Spirit. You were led of the Spirit to go through this. God hooked you up here and then said, now, this is what we're going to go through. See, everybody that came did say, amen. Everybody came what's supposed to stay, were they?
No.
But those that stayed, he said, okay, now those that stayed, we've got stuff to go through. Because where we're going, they weren't ready to go there, so they couldn't stay. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And it's okay. They could go wherever they needed to go, and that's okay. But he had something different for us. Verse 2. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. He had grace to go through that, and he was afterward unhungered. You see, when you're doing what God wants, you have grace, which is God's ability to go through whatever God wants you to go through. And afterward, he was hungry. I remember fasting 40 days. I remember having grace on me to not eat for that amount of time. But I also remember when it got right down toward the end, it was like, it is. I think I am ready to eat. You know? I remember one time I fasted 2 weeks. And on the 13th day, I think it was, the last day, you know, like, I was going to get to eat. I think Friday was the last day. So this was Thursday. And my stomach started making these noises. It sounded like something alive was inside of me that Cody ought to take and stuff, you know? And it was growling inside of me. My stomach started making all these noises. Now, I was a Baptist, Wayne. I didn't even know about taking authority over spirits and stuff. But I just pointed, right? Because I was like, what is going on, dude? I only got to fast one more day. I've already done it for 2 weeks. I just only got to fast one more day. And I looked at my belly and I pointed right at my belly and I said, if you make one more noise, I'm going to fast another 2 weeks. And just like that, my stomach quit making noise, didn't make another bit of noise. Then it was time. Because I was doing what God wanted me to do. I had the grace to do it, to even say that. I had to make that choice. You understand? To trust in Him.
Yeah.
See, are you with me?
Yeah.
Verse 3. Now he's hungry, and when the tempter came to him, it didn't say if the tempter came to him. So it's not if, but when. In your life, I'm talking about. So when the tempter came to him, old snake breath said, you see what I call him, Cody? I call the devil snake breath. You get it? The only good snake said. Dead snake? I love it. All right, you ready? So when old snake breath came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The first test is, do you know who you are? Do you believe who God says you are? Are you trusting in Him? Do you know? Do you have that authority? Are you trusting in what God has said? Or are you... I think that's another part. I'll get there. If you're the Son of God, is Jesus the Son of God?
Yes.
What did Jesus do? Verse 4. Notice Jesus' weapon to fight old snake breath. But Jesus answered and said, just like Sue, it is written. He didn't even quote the reference. He just said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Jesus' weapon was the truth of God. The Word of God. Whatever situation. Do you remember when you were doing the coffee bar? You and Roxanne and y'all would call and say, well, we've got this problem. And I would ask you two questions. Number one, what did God say? And number two, what does the Word say about it? Because you see, it's all about, are you following God? They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. But what we do is, instead of trusting in the Word of God, what we do is we trust in oppression. We trust in the circumstances. Somebody says, oh, I start giving more. Somebody said recently, I heard, we start giving more, we increase what we're given, and we start losing work. And it looks like they're going to lay me off, and I'm not going to have anything. You know how that works? So what do? Do you trust in the circumstances, or do you trust in God? Were you trusting in the business to take care of you, or were you trusting in God to take care of you? Okay? What I'm saying is God can provide in more than one way. Can't He, Frankie? It doesn't mean you have to go out there and be getting that job. He can provide a different way, can He? It doesn't even have to make sense. Didn't even have to know how it was going to happen. You just move in the way you feel like God wanted, and then He provides. What do you think that the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they stopped and got jobs at McDonald's and UPS while they were on the way to Israel? God took care of them. There was millions of them, and He fed them every day. Folks, what happens if what does happen in Japan happens here? And America splits down the middle during the Mississippi River, and Michigan falls over like this, and everything starts happening, and we're wondering how we're going to be taken care of. And then they say, well, if you'll just take a mark in your hand and your head, we can still give you food. What I'm trying to say to you is, what are you going to trust in? God's preparing you. God's preparing us for what's coming.
Yes.
He's taking us to a deeper place. If you want to live in a more shallow Christianity, there's a lot of places you can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. They're walking in light where they are, but I've already come further. I can't go back. I can't go back to 7 years old and do the things that Carson's doing. That's not where I am. Nothing wrong with where Carson's at. Nothing wrong with where Shayla's at. You understand? But I've already been there. That's not where I'm supposed to be. I've gone beyond that. Have you gone beyond that? God's preparing you. If you want to keep following religion, if that's what you want, their results. If you want the results of this, then you better follow where God planted you. And you better do what this says.
Yes.
And be under authority, because it's just really an amazing thing. I kept hearing you say it this morning over and over again. You just didn't use these four words. God leads through leaders. Real deep. God leads through leaders. Isn't that funny? And God gives us leaders and then He leads through them. But then when we don't follow them, we want to act like goats and go, but. I understand if they're trying to manipulate or be a dictator, but if they are praying for you and laying their life down for you, and they're the ones that God said are for you, God's doing this in our life. Our weapon, verse 4, is the Word of God, the truth. The truth will set you free. What is the Word for the circumstance you're going through right now? What is the very Word? As I've dealt with Eric, for example, many times God has had me say, here, Eric, just like today, here, Eric, Romans 5:6, that's for you. Many times am I talking to you, do I hand you a verse and say, you ask me, and I wait, and you just keep talking, and you keep, you know, wondering when I'm going to say something, and you want me to just say all kinds of words that you've heard 100 times before? 1,000? Okay, sorry, I'm trying to be kind. And then I hand you the words and say, here's a verse. What are you going to do with that? Because that is how we're going to defeat the enemy. You can't believe a lie and the truth at the same time. Where's Spencer? Probably getting there. We're upstairs talking, and he says to Jason, he says to me, I want you to tell Jason that little story of the monkey putting his hand down in the jar, and he can't get his hand out because he's got a hold of something. Well, you got to let go of the lie that you're believing. You got to let go of the fear of the circumstances you're in. When things were coming down on us, and I ended up laying one of my guys off, and our business went down to zero, like within 1 month. And I thought we were going to lose everything. At first, I'm going, you know, what are you doing? What's going on? I acted just like everybody else. And then, as I prayed, I came and I said, okay, God, If you're taking everything away, you must be trying to change my direction. You must be trying to move me. So you want me to get a different kind of job? You want me to quit this and go drive a garbage truck or something? I know a guy that didn't do that anymore. Maybe this snow plowing? What do you want me to do? You want us to move out of this house? Thank you, Jesus. We go get like a little two-bedroom apartment? That's what I've been wanting? Is that what we can do, Lord? See, when circumstances happen, are you trusting in them? I believe it's in Psalm 62:8 where it says, trust not in oppression. Are we trusting in oppression? Or are we trusting in God? Are we trusting in our circumstances? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. We need to be in the Word. We need to let the Word in here. And she read a verse this morning in Colossians 3:15-17 where it says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Bring forth much fruit. Because the longer it stays there, it's like if you were going to cook something at it and you went to put it in, who was that told me about it recently? About putting it in Italian dressing? Somebody said something about putting something. Is that you? And you said, put it in Italian dressing. Well, if you only put it in there for 5 minutes, you're not going to get much of an effect. But if you let it marinate there overnight, do you think it might have more of an effect? Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Did you get that?
Yeah.
The few of you that did, it's going to help you. Verse 5. This isn't for everybody. I'm just throwing it out there for those of you that can. Then the devil taketh Jesus up into the holy city. Well, I fought him one time, but he came back. What do you think? He's going to give up because you fought him one time? And he setteth up Jesus. He set up Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple. That's what he tries to do, is set us up. He tries to get us to be lifted up, like in pride. And saith unto Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He's taking Scripture, but he's twisting it. He's trying to put another meaning on it. And he's trying to get his attention off of God onto himself. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil still didn't give it up. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Who are we supposed to worship? What is worship? Extravagant love. What other? Give me a definition. What would you say? What's a definition for worship? Give me a definition.
Praise, exalt.
Be obedient. Showing someone's worth. I like that. What else?
Thanks.
Say it one more time.
Thanks.
Sacrifice. What else? Good.
Faith.
Okay. Worship. How about paying attention to? How about honoring? So what do we pay attention to? What are we... What did you say, Tana? What was your one you said? What are we showing worth? What are we putting our attention on and giving it, saying it's worth our attention and time? See, I don't have any problem with having a car. If somebody wants to go out there and wash and wax my car, I don't have any problem with somebody doing that. I don't want to do it. But if you want to do it, I don't have any problem doing that. And I don't have any problem with somebody washing and waxing their own car. What I have a problem with is that's all they do. Their whole attention. They're always walking around. You can't touch it. You can't get near it. You ever gone to somebody's house and you felt like it was real uncomfortable? You're afraid you're going to... Somebody walked in my house the other day, because we just live like this. Oh, I shut them up on this. But the point is that he walked in and he said, this is the most comfortable house I've ever been in my life. Because it was like he could just be himself here. He could feel at home here. It wasn't like, he said, I've gone to the other houses of equal value, and he said, they feel like museums. We've done this, haven't we? Being at home service. And you go in and it's like, it's a wealthy house, but you just feel like it's a museum. You can't, you're afraid to breathe. It's cold. There's no warmth. There's no life there. What are we worshiping? What are we spending our time on? Our energy, our effort, our focus? He says, thou shalt worship God only. The next verse. Worship God only. And then the devil left it. Remember in James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Just like what she said this morning, lift their hands, live in submission, submit to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You know what? We're going through hard stuff, and what we need, the battleground is here. The battleground is in our mind. Because we're either going to believe a truth or we're going to believe a lie. How did Jesus fight the devil? With the truth. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's what he said. He didn't even give you chapter and verse. He just said, it is written. He said, I've been reading this and this is what it says. And it doesn't matter what I see, think, or feel. You ever heard that before? It doesn't matter what I see, think, or feel, and it doesn't matter what everybody else says either. It matters what God says. Folks, I'm very pleased with you. See, I can't find any good pride, so I can't tell you I'm proud of you. I'm just very pleased with you because I'm watching God work in every one of your lives. And I know you're struggling, and I'm praying for you. That's something that else we need to do. We need to be loving and praying for one another. Realizing, like Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. But I am praying for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you go through this, you become stronger. As you see the needs in others, pray for them. When Job was going through the problems in Job 42, the Bible says he prayed for his friends, and then God delivered Job. Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay, Job prayed for his friends that were having... Job prayed for his friends while Job's going through the problems, so God delivers Job. Because God, you see, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And He's all about others. And He wants us to be little Christians that lay our lives down for others. This is where we're going. You're right on track. It's hard. Thank you, Jesus. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you. It does sound strange thing happen. He said, you're right on course. But put your faith in Jesus. Don't trust in the circumstances. Why is all this happening? Because this is what's needed to bring stuff to the surface. To get lies out of us. To get wrong belief systems.
Yep.
Things that we've been doing. Well, I believe. What does that matter? What does this say? Yours is just an opinion. But I heard it here and there. So, God's taking you further. God's drawing you unto Him. Are you with me? Hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're doing just fine. I know it doesn't feel like it.
No.
Just keep admitting whatever you see. God, show me my sin. And when you see it, God, show me where I'm off. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm not listening. Show me where I'm not receiving. Show me where I've trusted in what I've either been taught or what I feel like I've learned or my opinion or whatever it is. Show me where I'm not in agreement with you, Lord. Bring me into oneness with you. That's what you wanted, right? Isn't that what you said? Oneness with them?
Right.
But does he need to change or do we? We all the way home. Said the little piggy. All the way home. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So who moved? God's working in us, folks. God's doing a tremendous work. It doesn't feel good. We don't like it. If you want to go back to Carson's 7-year-old level, then you can do that. Nothing wrong. See, Carson is struggling where he's at 7 years old. Now, if that's what you want it to be easy, you could go back. But no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Isn't it funny how all the whole scripture just comes together when we keep talking about it? It all just comes together. Because it never all came together before, you know? You know what's neat, Jesus? It's you. And I just thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you gave us the word so we could read it, meditate it, go back and go, did it really say that? And look at that again. And we could get it inside of us. Thank you for allowing us the time so it could marinate inside of us. Help us to spend our time in your kingdom. Focused on your kingdom. Seeking you. Confessing what's inside of us, breaking agreement with it, bringing it to you and admitting, I can't do this, God. Because I can keep hearing you say, I know you can't, but I can do it if you'll give it to me. I can do it for you because I'm for you. And Lord, may you just quicken this. May it dance in our bellies, Holy Spirit. May you just grab us and dance us around like you're on a ballroom floor inside our bellies. These truths, may they just get inside of us so we receive them like a breath of fresh air. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May we take this in as our necessary food. May we breathe you in. Thank you, Jesus. You're incredible. We want to worship you and give you our focus and get abandoned in worship. So, Lord, we invite you to come. Have your way and help us just to honor you with our choices now. Thank you, Jesus.